School of Christ. We will be teaching directly from the book, The School of Christ, and we'll be taking line by line, literally line by line, paragraph by paragraph. And the book was by Brother Sparks, who was in this century. And if you've ever read the book, that is literally what it says it is. It talks about the school of Christ that Jesus takes his disciples into. And of course, Christ has ascended. So now it's the work of the Holy Spirit to do that Christ did when he was here. But the Holy Spirit always exalts Christ. He always brings us to a greater relationship with the person of Christ. So everything we'll read here is very simple, but it's directed to bring you and I to an understanding of who Christ is and to a personal relationship with him of what true Christianity is. This is true Christianity. This is beyond the mere church going. This is beyond the mere getting off the drugs and all the things that people talk about. It's far beyond that. It's becoming born again, saved, learning how to walk in the Spirit, understanding that you've been brought into a school that the Holy Spirit teaches you to know the person of Jesus Christ. I've often said this. I think this is probably, apart from the Bible, the best book I've ever read as far as the basic principles of true Christianity. They're there. Now, as you begin to read this book, especially the students, and we have some more books ordered, and we should have them in just a few days for those that come to the class if you'd like to get one. But as you read this book, and we've said this before, you don't read this book as you do other books. This book is written in the spoken form. And in the initial part of the book here, if you read the foreword, my brother Sparks, he'll tell you that. You don't have to look at it now, but the book was written in the spoken form. And what that simply means was it wasn't something that he sat down and wrote out as a book. They took it off of what he preached and someone wrote it. So it's actually in the spoken form. And so you have to hear it in the heart of how it's spoken. So with that in mind, I encourage you that when you read this book, you have to read it very slowly. You don't read through the whole book and grab a hold of it. You have to read it line by line, page by page, chapter by chapter. You'll have to go back and read it again. I've talked to several people that after the third or fourth reading is when they really embraced and was able to understand to any degree. And when I use that word understand, I want to be very careful because it sounds like it's complicated and we have to understand it. But it's a spiritual lesson that's in it that we have to hear. It's just like when you hear the Word of God preached. You can hear sermons and you can hear messages and you don't understand what the Spirit is doing. And I've over the years seen people, they hear messages, they hear sermons, but then when you start to see their lives and how they move, they're not moving in the spirit of what God is saying. They're doing a lot of good things, but it's not in the spirit of what the message is saying. That's why when you read this book, you need to read it slowly, line by line, page by page, and then you'll be able to appreciate what the Lord revealed to Brother Sparks. I do believe it's a revelation. I don't think it's a revelation that's reduced to just a few elitists, a few great men of God. I think it's obviously a revelation that's in the Word of God that we all can embrace and grow by. And so I encourage you as you read the book, and the Jacob House and Rachel House will be reading it during the week. And of course, you're going to be admonished once again to read it slow, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, and go back over and over and over. Okay, let's jump in. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew 11. And I'm going to read most of these scriptures just for the sake of everybody being able to hear, and so that it'll be on the tape. And these classes will be on tape for those outside the discipleship programs would like to get it. So let's turn to Matthew 11. We're going to jump into a few verses, and then we're going to go and we'll actually read the book. We're going to actually read this book in these classes. We're going to read every line of this book in this class, and then we will comment as we go. So let's get started with Matthew chapter 11. Verse 29. Jesus here speaking, and he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Now, if you notice the phrase here, learn of me. Learn of me. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, and those of you who have read the book, you know the direction I'm going. Hold that place and turn to Ephesians 4:20. Ephesians 4:20. And I know that it's in the book, but I want you to turn there in your Bible. Matthew 11:29. Jesus says, "Learn of me." Now, as you read that, this is before the Holy Spirit has been given. This is before the day of Pentecost. This is when, and just listen as you turn, this is when Jesus was walking on the earth with his disciples. The Holy Spirit had not been yet given, had not yet been given. Therefore, they were not being taught as such as we are today in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit.
My translation is the New King James. It says, learn from me.
Okay, all right.
The
word learn of, learn about is the word that we really is in the original. Learn of or learn about. Okay, but obviously they were learning from him. So they were not in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus here, when he said, learn of me, and then Paul in Ephesians 4:20. Let's read it. Ephesians 4:20. This is when obviously the Holy Spirit's been given. Will be the teacher. And notice the wording here, but you have not so learned Christ. And notice here the word of is omitted. Now that's not, we don't feel like that's by happen chance. I personally believe that you need to read the Bible and read the words on the line, that we don't need to read between the lines. Now, there are times as we grow in the Lord and the Lord begins to reveal to us and we have greater discernment, there are times that the Lord can speak to us and we may want to say between the lines, but he gives us a greater understanding. But learn how to read the Bible word for word, line by line. And so you see Matthew, he said, Jesus said, Matthew, learn of me. But here Paul said, you have not so learned, and he didn't say about Christ, he said, you have not so learned Christ. Now, the difference is this. I can know a lot about a person, okay? I'll take Charlie, for example. Not picking on Charlie, but obviously before he came, we heard some things about Charlie, as well as I could say Hector or whoever. And I'd heard some things about Charlie. I knew some things about Charlie, but obviously I didn't know Charlie. I knew about Charlie, but I didn't know Charlie, okay? Now, we'll read this in this book, but that is the difference in real Christianity. It's easy to come to church, it's easy to read the Bible, do all the right things, and know about the person, Jesus Christ, and never really know Him. Christianity, true Christianity, is not knowing about Him, it's knowing Him. Now, as I am able to be around Charlie Moore, minister to him, him being the family here in the church, that I'll begin to learn Charlie. I'll learn his ways as he will learn my ways and vice versa. And we begin to learn each other. Rick knows me much better than he did a year ago. I know Rick much better. We're learning each other's ways. I might know a lot of things about Rick, but as I'm around Rick, I find out who Rick really is. I know Rick, and Rick knows me. That's the difference. That's what true Christianity is. It is not learning about a man. It's learning that man. And to learn a person, you have to spend some time with them. And to learn Christ, you have to be brought into a place of intimacy and personal relationship. And that's exactly what the school of Christ does. It brings you into a place of intimacy and relationship that you no longer read about him. And it's far beyond, because we all could say this morning, well, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. You're talking about the historical Jesus. Well, it's far beyond that. There's people that knows much more than the historical Christ. But it's far beyond that. Christ wants you to know him. He wants you to know him in intimacy. He wants you to know how he thinks, how he moves, his heart, his passion. Now, you can read the Bible with cold eyes and cold ink, you can come to church, shout, and do all those things we've said, and really not learn the person. That's not Christianity. That's religion. That's good works. That might keep us from a lot of things in the world, but it doesn't bring us into the school where we really learn who Christ is. And listen to what I'm about to say, and I'll probably say it 100 times in the class. It is absolutely an impossibility for a person to really learn Christ and not be totally changed and totally fall in love with Him. But it is very possible for people to come to church, do all the quote-unquote right things, read the Bible, shout, sing, run the aisles, and never truly grow up, live an immature life the rest of their lives, never really be free, and never really fall in love with Christ, because they learn a lot about Him, but they never allow the Holy Ghost to take them to that place where they learn the person, Jesus Christ. I've seen this over and over, and I don't claim to know very much. That's not my attitude when I say that. I've seen this over and over of people that heard about Him, et cetera, et cetera. These classes are just a part. They won't be they won't be all the remedy, but they'll be a part of helping you to come to a place where you, by the grace of God, refuse to allow that to happen in your life. Where you say, Lord, I want to grow deeper than that. I don't want it to be just a surface thing. I want to know Him. I don't just want to be able to quote scriptures. I don't just be able to sing about Him. I don't just be able to come and act excited about Him. I want to know Him. Because I promise you by the Word that if you know Him, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I'll say it again. We talked about it Sunday. God is not a God that drags you through the mud with some galoshers on and you're always sucking mud trying to get out. That's not the God we serve. You can know Him and He'll set you free. I do believe there's a process that we go through. We're in a process every day of our lives of the work of grace. But God brings a man to a place where He sets him free, and he's free indeed. Amen? And then through that freedom, you get to know the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the school is all about. That's what this book is all about. That's what real Christianity is all about. And that's what God has for every one of us. Every single one of us, if you choose. Now, we can all choose to be obstinate or rebellious or live the rest of our lives immature and all the things that we could say. We can choose to point the finger, and I'm talking about all of us now. This is no reflection on anyone here. We can choose to point the finger and find the problems here, there, everywhere, and always find an excuse and out for the natural man not to ever know Him. And I know about Him as good as the next person. And I can't believe they said this or they done that, because I know about Him as good, and you probably do know about Him as good as the next one, but do you really know Him? And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to bring us to knowing Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. What is wrong with an individual, be it myself as a pastor, as a husband and a father and a Christian, or you as a husband or an individual, a single person, man or woman, what is wrong with you and I, by the grace of God and the dealings of the Holy Spirit, what is wrong with us making up our minds through those avenues, grace and the Holy Spirit? What is wrong with us, or I'll take me for example. What's wrong with me choosing, by the grace of God and the working of the Holy Ghost, what's wrong with me choosing to make up my mind I'm going to get excited about learning a man that loved me enough to die for my sins? I may look foolish to the world, I may look foolish to many people, but I've done a lot of foolish things in my life. But this is one that I know, that a man that loved me enough to die for me when I was yet a sinner, and yet he lives today. There's nothing. What is wrong with me just getting excited about that and want to learn Him, to know Him in intimacy and relationship, and sit and be taught of the Holy Ghost and refuse to live my life immature the rest of my life, the fleeting impressions, the flirtings around the edge, always looking for the pie in the sky, the quick fix, and never really just settling in and say, grace, Holy Ghost, do a work to where I truly know the person. I know Him. I know Him. I know His voice. I know who He is. I know how He moves. And I'm not implying that we'll ever come to a place where we just know Him like the back of our hand, that we know everything about Him because He's God. But He draws us and He leads us, and that we really know His heart and His desire, His passion. I believe Christ has a cry in His heart like we should have. He has passion. He has desires in His heart to see us men and women of God. What is wrong with us coming to a class or coming to church or living our daily lives with a passion to know this man? Not to know about Him. To refuse to get caught in that trap of knowing about Him. And doing all the right things on the outside and knowing all about Him. Quote the scriptures and preach, teach, sing. But don't know Him. I think we should choose to know Him, don't you? I think we should choose to know Him. Now, that's no reflection. There may be a few of you here today that say, boy, I'm in that category. I don't know Him. I know about Him, but I don't know Him. That is not a statement to put you in judgment. It's the statement to say, I don't have to live there. Because Jesus will bring me into a school where I can know the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, with that said, let's go to page 7. Do we have another book? I don't think I have another one. We got some on order. We talked about it just a few minutes. We got some on order, and they should be here in just a few days. I tell you what, if you can just read on, if somebody's got one to share, you can just, okay, if you can just listen, I'm going to just read it word for word. That's fine. And we'll get some books. He quotes the scripture out of Matthew, which says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see it in dark print. Learn of me, the apostle, in a slightly different form of words, gives us what the Lord Jesus meant. Then he quotes Ephesians 4:20, which says, you did not so learn Christ. So the difference here is the learn of me and the learning Christ. And you say, well, you're being technical. You're making a play on words. No, not at all. And just not at all. Okay. Now, Leaving out one very little word makes all the difference and gives the true sense. The Lord Jesus, while he was here, could only put it in an objective way. For the subjective time, and I'll explain that, for the subjective time had not arrived. And so he had to say, learn of me. When the subjective time came, the Holy Spirit would lead the apostle, which we read in Ephesians 4:20, to leave out the of and say, learn Christ. And so what he's simply saying here is that the Spirit of God is going to teach us, lead us into what? All truth. And the truth is the person of Christ. Jesus was here for only 3 years. Okay? He was on a mission. He came to save the world from their sins. He came to make disciples of men. He had 120 to go to the upper room. He came to make disciples of men that would take forward the kingdom of God. So in those 3 years, he not only, and listen very carefully, he not only healed the sick, he not only raised the dead, but he also was making disciples of men. So that these men, when he died, was buried, and was resurrected, these men would be left upon the earth that he could send back the promise of the Father to on the day of Pentecost. And now these men would be the vessels that would carry forth the church, the kingdom of God. So it's more than just reading about the miracles. And that's why it's so, sometimes it can so really not be confusing, but it can really, you can sense a heaviness on the Spirit of God when people are so bent toward the miracles and the miracles. And it's like they make a whole gospel out of the miracles. Yes, he performed miracles. He still performs miracles today through the power of the Holy Spirit. But to limit Christ to the mere miracle of raising a man from the dead is limiting God tremendously. He did not just come to raise the dead or heal the sick. He came to show men that through his teachings, he could raise up disciples that he could send back the Holy Spirit to, that could so revolutionize their lives that they would carry forth the kingdom, and just a few men would turn the known world upside down. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was more alive to those disciples after he was dead than he was before he died. When Peter and John, those men went to gate, were at Pentecost, and they walked the streets of Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea, Christ was more alive to them then than he ever was at the shore of Galilee, because he was made alive by the Holy Spirit. He was in their hearts. Before that, he was somebody like Charlie that they knew about. They could see him, but they didn't really know him. Now the Holy Spirit is making Charlie or making Christ real to them, teaching them. One thing to see Dale and to know her and be around her and know about her. Another thing to me to go 24/7 and sit down, and we sit right down and say, look, we're going to learn who Dale is. That's what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost has come to teach you the person of Jesus Christ, to teach you the person of Jesus Christ. So that's what he's saying here. That's the objective versus the subjective. Now, he went on to say, I am quite sure that many of you will immediately discern that is just the flaw in a very great deal of popular Christianity today. A kind of objective imitation of Jesus which gets nowhere, rather than the subjective learning Jesus which gets everywhere. Now, that's what we say, and we hope and trust that the Lord is honoring that, but we say that the discipleship programs here, even with their faults and even with their problems, there's a difference. Because we haven't asked you to come, or you haven't come here to learn about a man. You haven't come here to just get off of drugs, and maybe you weren't on drugs, or whatever your problem was. That is not what these classes are about. That's not what the Jacob House or the Rachel House is about. You can go the route of the secular and get off the drugs. I've said many times, most men, and we'll smile together, okay? Most men and women, when they grow up and get in their 30s and their 40s, and not trying to relate to anyone here that may be older or whatever, but most of us, when we get somewhere around late 20s or 30s, we kind of wise up that this stuff's going to kill us. Amen? And we get off of it. We might go the secular route, but somehow or another we realize, if I keep going down this road, this stuff is going to kill me. And we get off of it. We make up our mind. We wise up. Some go the secular route. Some quit. Ever how they say they quit, but they get off of it. You know, I know you find them, but most people that gets on drugs, 15, I'm just using drugs as an example, 15, 20 years of age, you don't find them usually doing drugs at 50 and 60. You might find some, but most of them get off of it before 50 and 60. Now, am I right or wrong? Okay? Am I right? That's right. They get off of it. Okay? We can come to these programs and get off the drugs, come to class, shout, do all that, and you leave. But that's not what it's about. We want you to know Him. We want you to know Him. And your natural man does not want to know anything about Him. That when, well, let me rephrase. It don't care about knowing about Him. It don't want to know Him. Because to know Him means to get you out of control of your own life and put your life in the hands of somebody else. Your natural man and my natural man don't like that. He's always been in control. And he wants to be in control now. But how are you going to look a man in the face that died for you and was raised from the dead and tell him you don't want him to control your life? Kind of hard to do, ain't it? And that's what this is all about. Now, popular Christianity says know about Him. Get off the drugs and you're fine. Get off the drugs and you're fine. I personally quit most of my carousing and drinking before I got saved. When I met Beth, I had quit most of my drinking, the heavy drinking I had quit. And I was slipping a little bit before, after we started dating. I was slipping a little bit out and a little to drink here and there. But for the most part, I had quit the smoking and quit the carousing and done all that. Because I look back now and know that God was dealing with my heart. Grace was dealing with me. But see, I could have went to church, quit all that, and been a good member and standing. But I got saved, got born again. The Holy Spirit started to show me Jesus. I wanted to know Him. I wanted to know Him. That's what you're here for. That's what Charles, that's what Rick, that's what each one of you are here for, to know Him. Not to leave off of drugs, not to just leave having a job, but to know the person of Christ, to know Him. That's the difference in quote-unquote popular Christianity and true Christianity. Now, so for this little while, and this is the initial part of the book now, this is where the school begins. This is where the school begins. This is the first thing. This is the first thing the Holy Spirit is going to do. And we're going to read this. The first thing the Holy Spirit is going to do is bring you to a place to know Him, Jesus Christ. Because that is the object of the school. That's what this thing is all about. I don't care how much effort we put in this thing, be it programs, be it evangelization, be it fellowship suppers, be it the whole thing. The whole object is one person, Jesus Christ. That's it. It's all about Him. The Holy Spirit is here to teach us about Him, to exalt Him in our presence. When we come, not only while the music's being played, be it in the prayer service, whatever, the Holy Spirit's job is to exalt and lift up Christ, and then He draws men to who? The person of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave who? His only begotten Son. The attention here is upon Jesus. So when we come into the school of Christ, when we come into this school, when you purpose to allow God to bring you through the power of the Holy Spirit to be one of those disciples, those disciplined ones, to be one of those disciples, when you purpose to embrace this opportunity, then the first thing He's going to do is He's going to present to you the person of Jesus Christ. He's going to bring you to a place to fall in love with Him. And let me tell you, it don't take 15 or 20 years. It don't take 5 or 10 years. You that are young in the Lord a few months, it's time now to embrace this. And you got to wait 5, 6, 8, 10 years down the road and say, well, man, I need to know Him. I've been doing all this outward stuff. I need to know Him. But if you're here today and you're like that, it's time now to get in and know the person of Christ, to know Him. So that's what the school is all about. This class is just going to kind of to show you that. But this class in itself is not going to do that for you. It's going to explain it to you, but then it's your decision to allow the Lord through His grace to bring you to that place. Now, as we go in this class over and over, we'll give you an opportunity to share. We're going to have conversation back and forth. And so I will give you an opportunity to ask questions. Let me work into this first part here before we open up this morning. Okay. So for this little while, we are to be occupied with the school of Christ. And now notice these next words. We are to be occupied with the school of Christ, into which school He brought the 12 whom He chose. Now notice the wording here. Those of you who have a book. We're to be occupied in the school of Christ, into which school He brought the 12. Now, as I read this over and over and over the years, the Lord made something very plain to me here, very simple, but very plain. Jesus was determined to bring these men into the school. He never gave up on them. And if you've ever studied the Gospels any at all, if ever a man had an opportunity to give up on a bunch of men, he had plenty of opportunities. But He was determined. And I want that to sink in. If we had to stop there today, and we're not, but I want you to let that sink in. Jesus was determined to bring these 12 whom He had chosen into this school of Christ. He was determined to bring them in. And we sit here today, and the Holy Spirit, if He can find a crack in the door, if He can find an heart that has a plead, a bend toward God, toward Him, If he hears any kind of a cry, the faintest of cries in your heart that says, I want to be a disciple of the Lord. I want to be a servant of the Lord. And I'm talking about works now. I'm talking about just loving the Lord. I want to love the Lord. If the Holy Spirit senses that bend, that cry, the faintest of cries in your heart, I'm telling you boldly, the Holy Ghost is determined to make you or to bring you into the school of Christ and teach you the person of Jesus Christ. He's determined. Now that's good news. Because we in ourselves are weak. We in ourselves don't have the ability to learn in the school of Christ. We in ourselves don't even have the desire within ourselves to be taught the things of God. We like to think we do, and we like to boast on that sometimes. We like to think, oh, boy, I got a desire for God. If we have a desire, it was given to us by God. Because your natural man today turned loose 1 inch in the wrong direction, bent on doing its own thing. But it's by the mercy and grace of God that he heard the faintest of cries, and he's endeavoring to bring you, determined to bring you to the school of Christ to teach you what? To teach you a person, Jesus, that loved you enough to die for you, even in your sins. Now that's the kind of love that won't leave you. That's the kind of love that won't abandon you. That's the kind of love that's irrespective, because if he would die for you, listen, if he'll die for you when you were a sinner, well, won't he love you when you're struggling? Won't he still draw? Now once again, we're not speaking about those that choose to do their thing, et cetera, et cetera. So here it is, then get that word into you. Jesus was determined. He was determined to bring the 12 whom he chose. And then it quotes the scripture here. Let me read this again. And you'll see me, I repeat myself a lot, and that's fine. I'm going to go over it very slowly. For this little while, we're to be occupied with the school of Christ, into which school he brought the 12, which means he was determined, whom he chose that they might be, he's quoting Mark 3 and 14, that they might be with him and that he might send them forth. Did you get that? We'll say it again. He brought them to the school of Christ, those whom he chose, that they might be with him and that he might send them forth. Now what did we say a while ago, just a few minutes ago? That Jesus did more than miracles, but he came to train and teach men. He came to raise up disciples. And the reason that we're here today is because he was able to. What would have happened if Christ had died and ascended and no one had been left here to have gone forth to the kingdom of God? What where would we be today? But he left men that he was able to send forth. He sent them forth. So they were there in the upper room, problems and all, got that sound from heaven. And I'm not trying to just allude back to a service, but they got that sound from heaven. And in that sound was the power to change them. Okay? And from that, he has sent them forth. So Jesus was determined to bring those men with him that he might send them forth. Now, I'm not trying to put you into the ministry. Most people will not be in the ministry, especially the fivefold. Most people just need to learn to be good laymen, good husbands, good wives, good mothers, good fathers. One of the greatest callings to be a mother or a father. That's one of the greatest callings on the face of the earth, is to be a mother or father. If most people would just do that good, they would excel tremendously. Amen? So I'm not trying to put you into the ministry. But don't God want to send us forth? Don't he want to send us forth? Sure he does. He wants to send us forth into a world of darkness and be the light on a hillside. And so as you allow yourself to come into the school of Christ, to learn him, to know him, not just about him, but to know him in intimacy, then you're able to go forth, into the workplace, into the marketplace, into the church house, on your daily activities. You're able to go forth and be the light of the world. He didn't choose angels. They're here today. I believe they're here. I believe I have a guardian angel. I believe they're here. But I'm not looking at them. Amen. And when you walk out today, you're the one that's going to have to minister to them at the grocery store. Amen. You're the one that's going to have to be the light at the workplace. The angel is not going to be the light on the hillside, the candlestick. You are. Amen. You're going to be the light that shines. Now, we choose not to be that, but I see good reasons to choose to love this man that loved me enough to die for me. Let him teach me to know him and to grow up and mature that we can be an example for him. Amen. How many of you believe? You have to raise your hand, but how many of you believe that God wants to send you forth? Into your homes, back into your homes, your workplace, to be an example. Okay? They were first of all called disciples, which simply means they came under discipline. Now, there's a vast array of understandings and misunderstandings of the word discipline. I've heard a lot of things concerning discipline, things that I won't share here today about discipline. But they were first of all, and I realize these are the words of Brother Sparks, but that's what, listen, they were first of all called disciples, which simply means they came under discipline. Now, the Word of God talks about them being disciples. The word disciples is in the Bible. Okay, it was used by Christ. They were first called disciples. I think it was used by Christ, but it's obviously inspired by the Holy Ghost of those that wrote it. And they're called disciples. The word disciples means to be disciplined. It means a disciplined one. Okay? Before ever we can be apostles, that is sent ones. And that's what apostle is. And once again, not necessarily the fivefold calling of an apostle, but apostle, the word itself, means to be sent. So if you and I are going to be born again, saved, growing in grace, to be sent out, knowing Christ, and if we're ever going to be those sent ones, we have to come under discipline to be disciples, to be taught ones, and that in an inward way. Okay? You have to learn discipline. But that discipline has got to be done in an inward way. Now, let me say something here about discipline. There are those that will tell us that discipline should not be a part of the language of the child of God. Now, I know what I'm talking about, that discipline should not be a part of the language of the child of God. I disagree with that. Now, if we take discipline and it's only always an outward thing, then it is no good as far as the spiritual man. I can be very disciplined and keep my shoes shined or those outward things and never be a Christian. So we understand that. We can be disciplined in outward things and never be a Christian. But is God limited to not being able to use in a person's life things even in the outward, in the personality, in the daily activities? Is God so limited that He can't teach us through our daily activities of how to be disciplined and then bring that over into our spiritual lives? I believe He can. I believe He can use daily activities. And once again, we're not speaking about legalism, but we're speaking about God teaching us through our daily lives of how to learn. And I'm going to go into the program a little bit now, because there's things that you don't approve of, that you don't like, that you don't understand. And I understand all that about the program. We get up early and we do this and we do that. Those things are there designed to be a part of what God will use in your life to become disciplined. And if you're open to the Spirit, now once again, if you just simply do these things for an outward show, if you simply do these things to impress those around you, or that you think through these outward things it makes you righteous, then that's not what it's all about. The outward things do not make you righteous, okay? They do not make you holy. But can't God use these outward things as He teaches us to be disciplined to get up early, or to keep our clothes neat and et cetera, the way we groom ourselves, the length of time that we're in a shower? Could it not be possible that God could take these little details that we get into and learn how to discipline ourselves? Isn't it possible that God can teach us through that how to bring those over into the realm of the Spirit? I think it's very obvious that He can. Now, most people, and I'm going to speak to you this in the program now, okay? With all respect, this is not a put down, but with all respect, you'd have to acknowledge and to admit, probably when you first came to this program, you didn't live too much of a disciplined life. You know, especially you were out there doing your thing, whatever that thing was, that you pretty much were out of control doing your thing, that you didn't live a disciplined life. Okay, so you come into a house or a program, and all of a sudden you've got to do this at this time, that at that time, and you say, and I'm going to be honest, and you say, what is the big deal? What is the big deal doing it this time? It looks so foolish. What's the difference in this time, and having to get up? Listen, if you'll simply start to do that, then what you're doing is slowly but surely, and it may be just because the guidelines say it, and you're just doing it because somebody told you to, but I'm telling you this, the Holy Ghost is big enough to take that and turn it into an inward thing, that He teaches you to do this here, and then it gets into your inward life that you learn also to be disciplined in your heart. So I'm telling you, I'm asking you, I'm sharing with you, I'm telling you, whatever you want to say, that these little things in the program that you think are foolish, listen to me, I've seen too many that after they went through the hard knocks and all the foolishness and rebellion and kick, and I'm smiling at you there, so don't nobody think I'm talking about you. But after all the complaining, I've seen too many. I've seen a lot that said no and went on their way and never served the Lord. But I've seen too many that said, finally said yes to it, and God, through the Holy Spirit, was able to totally change their lives. And they're set free, serving God, moving on. But if I hadn't seen a one, it wouldn't have mattered because the Bible says it works. So by me seeing one doesn't make it true. By it being in the Word of God makes it true. Amen? So we have to be disciplined. Once again, the outward discipline does not make you righteous, does not make you holy. But I just do not believe that God is so limited that He can't use those things. I know He has in my life, but there are those that go to the extreme and become very like a Pharisee and a Sadducee, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The gnat and the camel's eye and all the whole, or the gnat in your own eye, what the Scripture says, and you can't see your own life or seeing the faults of others. I know all that. But He said here you have to be disciples, disciplined ones, okay? Now, we have to come under discipline to be disciples, to be taught ones. We have to come under discipline to be disciples. Okay? Notice this next phrase. I'm going to say it again. We have to come under discipline to be disciples, to be taught ones. Have you ever come to a place in your life, and I'm talking about those that are saved now, where you realize that you weren't very teachable? Couldn't learn a lot, just weren't teachable. Well, he says here, and I believe it's from the attitude of the Word, that we must first of all come under discipline to be disciples, to be taught ones. And we have to be disciplined to some degree to be taught. Okay? Are you with me? Is it simple so far? Very simple? Okay. To be taught ones, and that in an inward way. So here he's saying the teaching of the Holy Spirit to teach us to know Christ is going to be an inward way, and in the heart, to know Him, to know His voice, to know His heart, to know His mind, His workings, His dealings, His movings, His direction. We can know that. God doesn't hide that from His children. A good father doesn't hide those good things from his children. He wants his children to have those things. And so as we grow up and we're able to handle them, I don't give my 13-year-old son things I would give him when he was 20. I don't give my little girl that's 9 things I would give her when she's 15 because she can't handle them. Okay, but as she grows and matures, I'm able to give her things that she can handle. So Christ, God, doesn't want to hold anything back from you that will be good for you. Amen? He wants to give it to you. He wants to bless you with it. But we first of all have to be brought into this school of discipline, and then we learn in an inward way. It is into this school that everyone who is born from above, look at these words, everyone who is born from above is brought. I believe that. I stand that what this book says, that every person that is truly born again, saved, didn't just get off the drugs or get off the social ladder, whatever it is your hang-up was, you didn't just get off all that and start going to church and turn over a new leaf, change clothes, sing the songs, look the part, but never were born again. There's a big difference. I believe that every person that's truly saved and born again is brought into this school by the power of the Holy Ghost to be changed in an inward way, to learn not just about Him, but to learn Him, not just to talk about Him, but to learn Him, not just to know that the Holy Ghost lives in us, but to learn the voice, the dealings, the movements of the Holy Ghost, the promptings of the Spirit of God, that we're no longer led by our flesh and what looks good, sounds good, human compassion. Oh, she needs this, that one needs that. What did the prompting of the Holy Ghost say? That's how we're to live our lives. The promptings of the Holy Spirit. That's the difference in the law. The law puts you in the mirror and says, that's wrong, that's wrong. That's easy, saints. I can say, don't do this. And you say, I'm not going to do that. All right? That's the law. And we can live by ABCs, the law, and don't do this and don't do that. But the promptings of the Holy Ghost takes a person a different realm where you have to sit, learn, be taught, and walk in the Spirit. You have to learn the voice of God, learn how to be prompted by the Holy Ghost. That's a whole different world. Amen? Whole different world. And that's what he's speaking about here, that we can be taught inwardly. It is into this school that everyone who's born from above is brought, and it is very important that we should know the nature of it, what it is that we're going to learn, and the principles of our spiritual education. Now, that is the preeminent thing that the Holy Spirit is going to do in this school. And it is of utmost importance that we just simply with childlike faith embrace that. This is not complicated at all, that we embrace that, that we welcome it, that in our daily lives, that in going to church. You see, we're getting ready for heaven, saints. We're getting ready for eternity. This is not a quick fix here. This is not something we're going to do for a few years and find something better. This is it. This is it. Whatever you thought was to be offered to you in this life on this world, this is it. Jesus Christ, true Christianity. This is just preparation. This is just getting ready. We're going to live eternally. Lost or saved, you're going to live eternally. And this is not a message on heaven and hell, but eternally we shall live. And this is preparation to live our life of those that are truly born again, to live eternally in heaven with Jesus who died for our sins. I would sure like to get there and know Him some. Amen? I like to be, when I get to heaven, that I know Him. Something about Him, and I use the word about, and you, not about, but we know Him in some way. That I know His voice, obviously, that I know His dealings. And I've learned enough, I know Him well enough, that I want to know Him more. That I want to know Him more. And that when I get to heaven, that it just continues. It's not going to stop when you get to heaven. It's only started. If you think you know a meaning now, wait till you get to heaven. It continues. We grow. We more mature. We know Him in a greater way. We'll be there with Him. He'll teach us. We'll know Him. We'll be with those there that walk with Him, and we'll know Him. So why shouldn't we choose in our daily walk? And I'm not speaking about living under a yoke of bondage, a yoke of legalism. I'm not speaking about not enjoying life. There's a life to be enjoyed. I enjoy life. I enjoy life. I mean, I have a good time. I enjoy life. We played fish last night, a little card game fish, and I laughed till I pure cried. My whole family was just rolling in the living room floor playing fish. Now, if I won't tell you about the other times when we ain't rolling the floor laughing, because we have our problems, amen, like any other family. And we have to have discipline and this, that, and other. But we were there last night. I enjoy life. I enjoy life. What's wrong with that? Why can't I enjoy life yet be serious about the person of Jesus Christ, make up my mind that I've learned through the Word of God that I'm not just here to pass through. I'm here to know somebody, Jesus, to learn Him, to know Him, to be a part of His kingdom, that one day I'll spend eternity with Him in a brand new heaven that's going to come down. Amen. A new Jerusalem that's going to come out of heaven. Why can't I be excited about that? The enemy in the flesh wants to live in the temporal, the now and now. It does not study tomorrow and eternal. It's what today. I got a problem today. It's got to be fixed today. I want this today. I'm going to get this today. And it screams, I want out of this today. Okay. The Spirit of God says, I got a man I'm going to teach you to learn Him. And I'm going to carry you through this school. Detail by detail. Valley by mountain. Trial by trial. Good time by good time. And the whole process, I'm teaching you the person of Jesus Christ. Why shouldn't I choose? I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. I'm born again. Well, I should like to know something about this man before I get there. Amen. Why shouldn't I learn? Why shouldn't I let the Holy Ghost say, don't do this? Why shouldn't I let the Holy Ghost say, abstain from that? Why shouldn't I want the Holy Ghost say, don't live that way. Come to me. Why shouldn't I allow the Holy Ghost to do that? I should. Well, if I will, the Holy Ghost will say, here He is. I want to teach you Him. Jesus Christ. That's the difference in most Christianity. Now, it's about 11 minutes till. I don't want to go into this next part because I will just share this with you. Let me just read this one scripture, and you don't have to turn that. I'm going to just read it to you. And this is what we'll get into next week. I'll just read it to you real quick. Now, what I say, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us the person of Christ. That's this school He's brought us into, to learn Him. To know, not know about Miss Dale, not to know about Miss Hazel, but to know her, who she is, where she lives, where them pots and pans are at, where that broom at in that corner, amen. Every little detail of her life. I'm not going to ever learn that about her, but you understand the difference. I know where she lives, and that's about it. I mean, for the most part. How much do we know about each other? A few little things here and there, but we don't really know each other, do we? Miss Hazel don't really know me. I don't really know Miss Hazel. Now, over the years, we'll get to know more about each other, but to really know her, I'd have to spend a lot more time with her. Let me tell you something. Holy Ghost got a whole lot of time. Holy Ghost take a whole lot of time teaching you Jesus. He's not busy like we are, hurrying, scurrying. And that's fine. I should never get to know Miss Dale like I would my family immediately, obviously. But you see what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost wants to teach you about the person, to teach you the person of Christ. Now, let me read this scripture to you. You don't need to turn there. But it's in Matthew 3, verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so Thursday, what we're going to get into is that is the object of the school, Jesus. And you think about this. I'm going to throw this out now. Almighty God looked down from heaven. Here Jesus is being baptized by John. And this voice comes from heaven. And it said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And what God was saying was, I found something on the earth that I am well pleased with. Now, when I look at me in the natural, there's things about me He can't be well pleased with. Okay? All right? But what God said was, I look at my Son and I am totally well pleased. I find nothing, absolutely nothing in Him that displeases me. And I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to teach you that pleases me. Look at that. That pleases God, Miss Hazel can learn. We can't miss it. So I can get off track and learn some things, but it's not pleasing to God. I can get off track and know some things, but it's not really pleasing to God. God says, I've seen Him. He's my Son. I am thoroughly well pleased. He's going to come back to me and send back my gift to the world of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is going to teach, lead, guide you to know Him, the person, and He pleases me. So anything I learn about Christ, anything I learn of Him, anything, any level that I know Him, it's good because He pleased the Father. That's what's being revealed to you, Jesus Christ, that pleases God. We've done enough in this life that didn't please God. Can you say amen? We've done enough, said enough, looked at enough, thought enough that surely didn't please God. Why shouldn't we grab a hold of that that does please God? The teaching of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit to come to bring us into this school that we may know in an inward way. Now, you may not ever have it all together outwardly, but inwardly, the heart is being made pure and holy before God. And it will carry over. I've always said that anything that's been done inside is going to carry over to the outside. It has to. There is no. If it's being done in here, it's going to catch up with the outside. Amen. It will sooner or later catch up. Give a person a time to grow. Give them time to grow and mature. A child has to grow and walk. But I'm telling you, if anything's really going on in here, if it's really going on, you won't have to shout about it and tell anybody about it. The fruit will be hanging on that tree. Amen. You show me an apple tree, you ain't got to tell me 5 years in a row it's an apple tree. Amen. If I'm close enough to walk by it, I'm going to know it's an apple tree because I'm going to see some apples on it. All right? If you're truly saved, born again, in the school and learning Christ, you don't have to shout it and tell everybody what's going on, this, that, and the other. I'm telling you, if they're in the same school you're in, they're going to see it because it's impossible for it to happen in here and it not to come out because that brings glory to God. Amen? It changes our lives. Are you with me? We didn't go very far. See, I told you we just got about two paragraphs. We just got to the top of page 8. We got 95 pages. We got to page 8. And we didn't start until page 7. So we got a half a page is all we got. It takes time, but it's good. Any questions? Real brief. Any questions? Anything at all?
Like what Brother mentioned.
Yes.
He told us long ago that you had to learn to know Jesus.
Insert. Yeah, insert. Amen. That's it. That's the whole thing. That's what this ministry was built upon. Knowing Him. Not just works and all that, but knowing Him. That's what this whole thing is about. Knowing the person of Christ. Anything else? Okay, let's stand.